Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Yes, thanks for joining us. Monday night edition of Sports Day. Mark Redding's in for Carl Langdon alongside Paul Hazelby. And a huge weekend of sport kicking off with the AFL finals. Four matches decided. Hayes, we've seen one really tight game. The rest are a bit one-sided, but the finals are here and Perth is getting a slice of the action.
Oh, we've got three to come. One this weekend, one the next weekend after that, and then the big grand final. Do they wait a week there or they just keep it as is on the 25th? But some big news headlines today for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. The big news is around Toby Green off of the tribunal. 7 a.m. tomorrow, so a different time because of the flight requirements for the Giants to get here. Also, some big news announced today in the Super Rugby competition, out to 12 teams. So there'll be 7 home games, 14 games for each team, and a team coming in from Fijian Drua and Moana Pacifica. So they're the new teams there. And Craig McRae, expected to be announced as the next coach of Collingwood, maybe this week, just waiting for the board to give the last tick.
They've had some massive names appointed coach of Collingwood in the past. Craig McRae certainly understated compared to the likes of Nathan Buckley and Michael Maltas. They are our news headlines for Polaris. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Yes, great to have your company. Mark Redding's Paul Hazelby rolling through Monday night Sports Day. And for Sullivan Logistics, 3 votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. Some slaps and sledges, and Paul Hazelby coming off the long run-up tonight.
I'm going with the sledge off the top, and it's the smartest, dumbest footballer I know, and that is Toby Green. He's the smartest when you talk about reading the play. His use of body, his pattern running, and his skill execution is through the roof. But he is the dumbest player when it comes to consistently crossing the line. Selfish acts, which we saw on the weekend, another one. He takes the focus off the team. We should be here right now talking about the Giants. Leon Cameron, Jesse Hogan, Stephen Cornelio back in the team. But we're not. We're talking about a selfish act done by their leader. We'll call him the leader because he's been in that position for a while. But it was so disappointing to see him step over the line one more time. And then you have all the commentators that come out there and say, oh, I want to see Toby play. Well, I don't want to see Toby play. Anybody that makes contact with an umpire in that aggressive manner shouldn't play, whether it's for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't want to see it. And I hope he learns his lesson by missing big finals. But I'm not holding my breath, Skeet, because I don't think he will learn his lesson. If he hasn't done in the past, he's not going to learn from this point on. So disappointing because he's so smart, he's so brilliant, yet he's so dumb.
Toby Green, how many weeks do you think he'll get tomorrow at the tribunal?
3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks. I think he deserves 2 to 3 weeks for that action because we don't want to send that message to anybody in the AFL industry. You talk about all the kids and you get one chance to send a message to the whole industry. This is it. It's 3 weeks, 2 weeks for mine at least.
Let me give a slap, and it goes to a player from Melbourne that could hold their key to a premiership in the next few weeks. I refer to a guy called Christian Petrarca, who continues to take all before him, kick 2 goals, 30 touches against the Brisbane Lions in the qualifying final. Just part of that midfield group for Melbourne. They're the outright premiership favourites. There's not too many chinks in their armour. Their forward line doesn't look as if they've got many weapons, but they keep kicking a score and their defence is absolutely top-notch. They've arrived in town. They've settled up in Joondalup. We're calling them the Joondalup Demons for the next few weeks because they are based up there. And hopefully, from their point of view, they'll get a good week's rest, have a look at the semi-finals this weekend, and then go into the prelim final. Imagine being a Melbourne supporter, though, having waited for 57 years to try and see your team win a flag. And their best chance, when you go back to 2000, 1988, they were there. But this is their best chance in my mind to make it. And they can't come across to watch their team play in the flesh.
We'll never get a better chance than this. All the players are playing well. Every part of the ground is covered. And they've got a real team-first mentality. But you talk about those Melbourne supporters. What about a thought for Nathan Jones, who's been there for the last 16 years? He's been the connector for that football club. When players were leaving, when they were being basically spoken about in really bad terms for a long time, he stayed there. And now he's not getting a game. Still a chance, but he's got this big decision to make about his wife, who could be having twins over the next few weeks. So what would you do in that scenario?
Well, times have changed, and I've got twins, and I was at the hospital, but was happy to go home at about 4 a.m. when I was a bit tired, and my wife and the doctors said, listen, you better hang around for the duration of this. But for Nathan's position, what do you do? he's been waiting so long to get the chance at footy's holy grail. Mind you, he's at the back of the queue in terms of midfielders at the moment.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, James Jordan is there as well, so probably needs one or two injuries. But look, I can only speak on my behalf that I would play when you've given that much of your life to get there. And I know my wife would make me play because of that reason. I don't know his partner, but that's where I'd be going.
And I'll be giving a quick sledge as well to the Indian cricket team who performed so admirably in the test at Lord's, but then fell apart. Their batting was terrible. Virat Kohli.
Where's Virat at?
He's had some issues. Look, he scored a half century in the first innings, or the second innings against England. But unfortunately, it's been a long time between centuries for him. Virat Kohli in India, mind you, it's a great series, one test apiece as they head towards test number four. But India, a little sledge from me. That's all thanks to Sullivan Logistics and CalExpress, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. Visit calexpress.com.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
This is the Monday night edition of Sports Day. Mark Reddings alongside Paul Hazelby. Of course, the Giants are coming to town to take on the Cats, a semi-final on Friday night after beating the Swans by 1 point. Nick Haynes, the Giants defender, has been kind enough to pick up the phone. He joins us for a chat now. Nick, how are you going?
G'day, boys. Thanks for having us.
Terrific. And that result, I'll tell you what, the hearts were pumping around Australia as neutral observers. What was it like in the middle for the last 5 minutes as the Swans pressed and pressed and pressed?
Yeah, I didn't have time to get nervous because the ball was coming in that much, so just hanging on for dear life. And thankfully we had a good enough lead in the first half that we were able to hold on, but yeah, probably didn't want to give them that many chances in the last quarter that we gave them. So a bit of luck went our way, but it was set up by a good first half, so we'll take it.
It's not ideal, though, is it, when you concede 65 inside 50s? You must have gone to town on that from a review process. Did anything stand out?
Oh, a little bit more towards probably our ball movement. So, if we rush it in there too quick and then don't get time to set up behind the ball and defend, then it's going to go one way all the way to the other end. So, we know Sydney love to go through the middle this year. They've changed their game plan and they've done it really successfully. So, they're one of the most exciting ball movement teams, and they showed that on the weekend as well.
Now, we should be talking about the team and Leon Cameron and Jesse Hogan's performance, but unfortunately, it's happened again. Toby Green has stolen the limelight. Whether he does that on purpose, I'm not quite sure. But you must be disappointed as a club to be put in this situation again. I know you love him and he's your captain, but he's been there before. And as a leadership group, I reckon you would have told him a few times to pull his head in.
Yeah, it's always that funny one with Toby. We love the way his spirit and his aggression towards the game, and he's our spiritual leader, and we love him in that sense. And we all know what type of year he's had. He's all Australian. That's the way he plays. But yeah, there's that line, and he steps on that line a lot of the time. So he knows deep down he loves this club and wants to be playing finals, and he's bitterly disappointed if it doesn't go his way. But yeah, we love the good things about him, and when it goes bad, obviously we don't love that, but we'll see what happens, what comes out of the findings, and fingers crossed that he'll be okay.
So, Nick, where were you three-quarter time? We were watching on the monitors. Did you know the incident had occurred? When was the first you found out about it?
No, not till after the game. I was pretty close to the proximity to the incident, but obviously, whatever, you have to look at it pretty closely to get a good visual. Looking at being close by or no words were exchanged, or nothing was brought to my attention from that close range. So not till after the game where, you get your phones back of the thing you're scrolling through, that you'll find something in there. But, it's one of those things that we just got to leave to the high beings to look after, and all we can do is pray that, it got the good result for us.
Just one more on Toby and his mindset. Have you spoken to him? Has he had a look back at the vision and think, gee, this doesn't look as good as what I'd like? Or have you been able to get an idea of how he's coping with what's a fair bit of pressure? Because obviously umpire sacrosanct and the game needs to make a stand if it's appropriate.
He's coping fine. And obviously he'll be looking to see what happens over the next few days or tonight or wherever it is. I'm not sure when it is, but he'll be on edge, no doubt. And because he wants to play finals, he loves his club and he performs well at the high level, and he's one of the leaders, so there's no doubt he'll be a bit anxious about the result. We'll want to be out there this weekend, but You know, we'll let the higher people at the club deal with him and talk about that stuff. And all we can do as players is just support him.
There it is, Nick Haines, Giants defender. We'll have more of Nick's chat.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Great to spend some time with GWS defender Nick Haines on Sports Day. Haze.
All right, let's talk about some of the positives. And look, I watched you play early in the year against Fremantle. I must admit, I put my hand up and said, look, I think they need change. I think it's the end of an era maybe at your football club. But what you've been able to do, and Leon Cameron in particular as the coach, to turn that around, what has he done that's been able to generate a new lease on life for a lot of the players and a new game plan that's worked really well?
Yeah, I guess first after that round three, he just opened up to the leaders and the older people, and we just sat down for a good few hours and had a good honest chat about where we're at and about each other's feedback as well, and talk about where each other's at. And I think we just challenged each other as players and as leaders and as coaches to, you know, we're not going to stand up for this and we're going to challenge each other higher. So in hindsight, it was probably a good thing that we ended up being 0-3 and our season kind of started the upward trajectory from there. So he's been great this year in that honest feedback, but then also when we're doing something well, he pumps us up as well. And I think all the young boys that have come into this team have really played their role, and he's given them confidence to come in and give them belief that they can play at AFL level. So you see all the young players now coming through the ranks, coming through and having an immediate impact, not taking a few years to get settled, but having an immediate impact, and that's a lot to do with his confidence he's given these players.
There's so many storylines this time of year. I want to talk about the Jesse Hogan storyline, because he came to Perth. It didn't work out through his own doing. He was basically forced out of the football club. He got thrown a lifeline from your club, and by all reports, he's taken it. He's trained hard, and he's deserved a lick of the ice cream on the weekend. He was good, 2 goals and the contested marking. It's probably rewarded the club to win a final like that on the back of him having such a good game.
And in tears after the game as well, Nick.
Yeah, he's he's obviously been on a big journey, long journey for him, and he came to the club, and you could just tell straight away that he was here to work and here to fit in. So he's had a few little niggles on the way with some soft tissue, but the way he's applied himself and his mindset towards the group and the club's been fantastic. And I think ever since he's been here, what he's done, that's the reward he gets on the weekend for sticking fat. So you can tell he's been putting in the work, and when you put in the work, you get a good lick at some stage. So we're really happy as in as players and as a club that he was able to do that on the weekend, and we're looking forward to keep doing that over the years to come.
In contrast, down back, a player that I'm really impressed with. I know Buddy kicked 3 on the weekend, kicked 4 back in round 18, but I've got to say Sam Taylor impresses me every time I see him. He does a really good job, and I just regard him so highly. I'm sure you do internally as well.
Yeah, for a young key back, obviously there's you get a few key backs that might be a bit docile, or you might have a key back that's an interceptor that can't defend well as one-on-one, but he's the full package, so he can do it all. He can play on the big man and beat him easily, but then also he can come off and chop out and take some intercept marks as well. So he's a complete package, and I've been super impressed from him ever since he stepped foot in the club. I knew he was going to be a star, and he's still young too, so I'm happy that he's in the back line taking all the big dogs, and it's a pleasure to watch.
There it is, Nick Haines from the Giants. They take on the Cats Friday night, 5:50 bounce, Western Standard Time. Stay with us, plenty more to come, including...
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, Monday night. Mark Reddings and Paul Hayes will be with you. Time now for the Kia Top 7. And Hayes has been mulling over some of these for the last 15 or 20 minutes, all courtesy of the new Kia Niro electric SUV range, which has landed.
Top 7 underperforming stars from the weekend. Now, it's big time footy. You want your big guns to come out to play. And I'm going to start with Peter Wright. Now, I've got him up there because of the season that he's put together. 29 goals. He's kicked recently 7 goals. Last time he played the Bulldogs, he kicked 7 goals. He kicked 4 goals last week. Guess what he got on the weekend? Big donut. 7 touches, Peter Wright. I know the conditions weren't conducive, but he had to do more than that with Harrison Jones out. He had to step up in the big final. He didn't. He'll learn from it, but a good season nonetheless.
That being said, he's been a successful pickup for the Bombers. They got him for next to nothing.
I can't believe the Gold Coast Suns got rid of a player. He didn't even play him last year, Stuart Jew. And then you hear reports that they want to go get Rory Lobb. Same type of player. He was sitting there. You let him go for nothing. Come on, Stuart. You could be better than that. Let's go to 6. That goes to Jake Stringer, his teammate. Now, he should have been in the All-Australian for mine. He should have got in the forward pocket ahead of Tom Papley. But on the weekend, he only had the 9 disposals. He kicked the 2 goals, had a chance to kick 3 late in the game, and he would have got off the list, but he missed that one. But look, his centre bounce work has been terrific all year, but it was missing when the big moments mattered. And he had 2 teammates that did well through that part of the ground in Merritt and also Darcy Parrish, but they would have loved more from Jake Stringer on the weekend. At number 5, and he's there a lot of the time when you talk about big finals, and it's an issue for him that he needs to work through, and he gets another chance. I'm talking about Gary Rowan from the Geelong Football Club. Started in the forward line, and Alia just had a field day early on in that game. If you're not going to win the ball, you make sure your star defender doesn't get too much ball. Great intercept marker is Alia. He didn't do that. They had to move him out of the forward line. That's how bad he was. He went to the defence. His numbers looked okay at the end of the game, but the damage was done early, and he needs to bounce back, Gary Rowan.
Hard thing about Gary Rowan is because he's got all the tricks, we know what he can do. It must be frustrating for Chris Scott. Do you punish him by not playing him on Friday night? You can't do that because you know next start, he's likely to kick 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, and provide a lot of pressure. That's what he can do, and he's that medium-sized player that I think every club needs. The next one is Tom McDonald. Now, he's in a winning team, but if you only have 4 disposals in a final, it's not good. He was lucky he had Ben Brown and Bailey Fritz and Pickett got the job around him, but he's one that has and can improve going forward into the next game. The next one's Joel Selwood. Now, Patrick Dangerfield left off the list because, he was okay. He had 24 disposals.
And injured,
but do you take that into account? It was interesting to hear them come out and talk about that today. But Joel Selwood, we know that he is a legend. He's a star, and he thrives in that environment. The number of finals that I've seen him just say, boys, get on my back. I'm going to win this. He needed to do that on Friday night, and he couldn't do it. I know he's getting older, and maybe that's the issue, but 17 disposals in a big game wouldn't sit well with him.
Big night on Friday for him. He goes past Corey Enright's club record of 333 games. He tied it, of course, in the qualifying final. He's a very proud man. He was beaten up in the midfield in the sense of the footy being stolen from him time and time again on the weekend. So I'm sure he'll be stung by that. I went and saw him and his teammates train at East Fremantle today. Light session, but you just get the feeling that Joel Selwood's got one more to throw at the grand final.
I'm not writing him off, the Cats. I reckon they'll win this week and then they take on Melbourne. All the pressure in the world will be on Melbourne that weekend. I know everybody expects Geelong, with the list that they've got, they need to play in the grand final, but they will come again. They're experienced. Lachie Henderson, though, he's not going to break that record at Geelong if he keeps playing like he did on Friday night. That was the worst I've seen him. And he's been a really good pickup, and then he lost his way. And then the last 2 years, he's been brilliant again for that side. But he looked old, he looked slow, very fumbly, and he missed a lot of skill execution opportunity. So the spotlight goes on to Lachie Henderson as well. But number one was Harris Andrews from the Brisbane Lions. So disappointing. Back into the team off a hamstring injury. So maybe he wasn't quite right. But he looked slow. He was very slow to react. That defensive intensity that we know and love about him just wasn't there. He didn't even want to close down the space with the player that he was on. Time and time again, he was just slow and needs to be better with his reaction time. I think they go with him. He's the leader of that team, particularly the defence, but he would want to sharpen up if the Brisbane Lions are to get through the Bulldogs this week.
In racing parlance, Harris Andrews, you'd say it's a forgive run because he's shown so much for so long that you'd expect him at the Gabba to bounce back against the Bulldogs, who might not have that tall option apart from Aaron Norton that could trouble them in the air. So
second up from a spell, if we're talking about racing, he might be a bit better.
Perhaps. We're hoping if you're a sympathiser of the Brisbane Lions, your top 7 for Kia, very slick haze for the all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range, available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric. We go to the player of the round for expert car service you can rely on. Visit repcoservice.com. Hayes, had a few to choose from over the weekend. There were some quality performances, particularly from winning teams.
Yeah, there was, but I settled on Clayton Oliver. He couldn't get Brownlow votes, but I reckon he's got the Brownlow. That last round that he produced against Geelong and then this one, he's in great form. Best midfielder in the comp right now. The speed that he goes through the contest and how clean he is, but he's added to his game. game this year. He's actually kicking the ball. He's been a high-score involvement player. He had 10 on the weekend to go with a goal himself and 33 disposals. That's a complete performance. And it's been great to watch the evolution of this kid, because when he came into the team, pick number 4, early on, he had so much talent, so much class, but probably lacked the selfish nature, the selfless nature in his game. He's now got that. It's team first all the time. He's an absolute beauty, and I think he's going to be taking home Charlie.
There it is, Hayes' player of the round for your local mechanic with the nationwide backing of Repco. Book online at repcoservice.com. More of Sports.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
It has been a huge Monday night on Sports Day. Paul Hazelby, Mark Redding's about to bid you farewell, and of course a huge day at the AFL Tribunal tomorrow.
Yeah, it certainly is for Toby Green, but Brian Cook's got a big decision to make too. Headhunted by the Carlton Football Club, current CEO of the Geelong Football Club, but won't be making any comment until they are out, the Cats. And the other big news, Josh Carr has been given a 4-game suspension. He's already served 2 games, so he missed round 1 and 2 next year for that COVID breach here in Western Australia. And the club has been fined $25,000.
So the Blues might have Brian Cook in charge as CEO, Ross Lyon as the coach. Plenty happening at Carlton. Thanks for your company. Been a big show. We'll catch you tomorrow on Sports Day.